Hello, this is Nick Augustine here with nurse consultant Samantha Glahn, who's the owner of SJG and Associates, the legal nurse consulting and medical records review provider for attorneys, insurance companies, and healthcare facilities. Samantha is a friend of the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant and the nurse consultant for the Chicago Health Law and Litigation firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates. This is the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant's monthly podcast interview. On this program, we feature a variety of attorneys and experts in many areas of health law, litigation, and the regulation of healthcare professions. Today's podcast interview is with nurse consultant Samantha Glahn, who focuses on current trends and topics in the area of nurse consulting and litigation assistance in healthcare-related cases. In the next 30 minutes, Samantha will talk to us about her career in nurse consulting work in general and in the legal practice areas, including tort liability, malpractice consultations, and nursing home and medical practice investigations. Few of our topics we'll talk about again today are career focus on nurse consulting and what type of work is involved. We'll talk about the skill sets and experience that are important in reviewing medical charts. We'll focus on litigation assistance in healthcare-related cases, again, including several practice areas, tort liability, malpractice, and nursing home issues, and then some tips for people looking for a change of career who have an interest in nurse consulting. Again, I'm here with Samantha Glahn, and she is the founder and owner of SJG and Associates, the legal nurse consulting and medical records review provider for attorneys, insurance companies, and healthcare facilities. Samantha has significant work experience as a registered nurse and in healthcare and nursing director positions. Samantha earned her Associate of Science degree in registered nursing from Elgin Community College, and she earned her Bachelor's of Science degree in healthcare management from National Lewis University. By way of short disclaimer, this is a general information program, and any advice on this show does not constitute legal advice. Communication with any of our guests on our show among attorneys does not give rise to attorney-client relationships. If you have any specific questions about any of the content on today's program, you should call the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants to make an appointment by calling area code 773-631-4580. Again, that's 773-631-4580. Enough from me. It's time to say hello to our guest, Samantha Glahn.
Hi there. Thank you.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit more about your position in nurse consulting. You know, I know that there are so many people that we talk to in this program who work in one of the various fields in the healthcare industry, and the more I talk to people and the more I learn, the more the web really grows. So many different specialty areas. If you could just tell us a little bit about your background, your career, and how you decided to move forward in the path that you did with nurse consulting and with your business.
Sure. Well, I've been in the healthcare field for nearly 20 years. When I was a child, I knew that I wanted to become a nurse. And I took all of the steps with my grades and looking into schools that had nice nursing programs. Moving on to become a nurse's aide first, followed by a registered nurse, and then I took on a more challenging leadership role as a director of nursing. From there, it just happened to be a continuing education credit class that I took that was involved with legal nurse consulting, and I decided to pursue that as more of a hobby and interest. And it just really, something about it just really stood out to me. I really enjoyed working with not only medical professionals, but also with attorneys, insurance claim reps of the sort. So it grew on to me more than just a hobby, and I decided to make that a full-time career. So, I guess one of the things that pulled me to becoming a legal nurse consultant is that I enjoy the challenge that each and every new case brings. I enjoy having a successful outcome. I like to get out there and meet and work with people just because each case, each attorney, each claim rep or healthcare professional that I meet, they all have different backgrounds. They've got a different story to tell. So in my area, I'm constantly learning and growing, which is perfect for this line of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because there are so many things that we can do within our careers, and you know, healthcare or law, what have you, where things get to be a little routine at times. So, raising the bar is such a fun thing. And when you talk about some of the challenges, tell us a little bit more about some examples.
Well, some of the challenges, you know, I think as nurses, we're more accustomed to serving people. Usually these people that we're serving are very ill. So it sometimes is easier to, you know, talk with them. So when you're dealing with an attorney, for example, for the very first time, sometimes I know for myself, it took a while to get past being so intimidated. Or you meet this attorney that you see on TV all the time, you know, having a little bit of that starstruck moment and fumbling for words and not knowing what to say. So, you know, some of the challenges are just kind of getting around what's in your own head. You're capable, you're strong, you're an intelligent nurse professional, and your job is there to help support these attorneys who are looking to you like, what does this document say? How do I read it? And how do I help myself in this case?
Well, right.
So it
you know,
almost
it's,
becomes like you're their hero.
They say, you know, and I have a person coming to mind who was a workers' compensation attorney for many years, and the gentleman went and took classes. He went to certain medical school classes. I don't know how or what, you know, not really towards a degree or anything, but just to work within certain areas, you need to really – you know, brush up on some of these topics. And, you know, especially, you know, I can remember many, 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 many years ago working for an insurance defense firm, going through all the medical records and trying to learn, okay, what, you know, what is this? What is it? You know, and that's a law student, you know, doing their best to try to figure out, oh, I can actually navigate these things. It's like learning another language.
Right.
I think I understand what happened here. Oh, like
right.
This is a foot injury. Okay, we're starting there. But, you know, as things get more complex, you know, soft tissue injuries are, you know, one thing. But when we get into more complex injuries and healthcare situations, especially involving, I would think, pharmaceuticals and some of the issues with misdiagnosis or, you know, thing, you know, just they can get very complex. So you really must be
right.
A lifesaver to a lot of the attorneys who are, you know, require, you know, they absolutely need to know these details from you, and not to be getting it at a hearing or trial or, you know, others, you know. So as we move around this, where just let's, for the benefit of those who might have never worked with nurse consultants or just say, well, I know what consulting is and I know what nursing is, but I know nothing further. So if you could sort of paint us that picture of what nursing consulting really is, so that our attorneys can understand, and also, you know, other people listening at home or people, other nurses who are thinking of a career change, how does this all work?
Well, you know, there's a process like anything other. When I'm approached for a potential new case, oftentimes at this point, I have a relationship strong enough with most of the attorneys I deal with that they say, here you go, there's a new client. I want you to call the client and then let me know if you think that there's merit there, if it's worth pursuing. Once I get to that step, you know, I let them know yes or no, I think this has merit, or no, it doesn't. If it does, the next step is that I recommend obtaining whatever medical records are available. When the medical records come in, that's when I start my review. And typically I'll have a conversation with an attorney first. And this can cover anything, insurance, defense, plaintiffs, criminal, it doesn't matter. This process is usually about the same. I'll find out a general idea of what the attorney is looking for, what the allegation is, so that if I'm flipping through 20,000 pages, I can narrow my focus a little bit better. That saves a lot of time for the attorney. When I'm reviewing the records, I'm looking for key information, things that stand out. Are there deviations from standards of care? Are there things that are blatantly jumping out saying this is a red flag, this is an error that could have taken place? you know, is there proper documentation? Now, with electronic records, sometimes you see what I call cookie cutter notes, where the same note can be seen through the person's 20-day stay. Nothing about it has changed. That's a red flag. So when I'm complete with my reviews, I type up a report based on key information. I bring supportive facts. And I also bring in, since I've done both sides of the fence here in my line of work, I bring up facts and arguments that opposing counsel may or may not have. I also recommend, you know, if it's an orthopedic case, somebody broke a bone, I may recommend an expert that may be most beneficial for this case. So, you know, maybe an orthopedic surgeon if it's a broken bone, or if it's a brain injury, I'm seeing a lot of those lately, maybe a neurosurgeon to take a look at these records. And I can pull out those key records and give the attorney that stack instead of giving a doctor 20,000 pages. I can produce questions that can be asked for deposition purposes. There's times that I've been asked to attend a mediation, and oftentimes during those depositions, they kind of let me go, or the mediations, they let me go and talk about the nursing aspects of what's going on. And that's really, a lot of times opposing counsel tends to be a little bit stunned by that, because they may or may not have used a nurse. Some of these attorneys use just their own knowledge. They have, you know, they go on Google and they try to figure out information on their own. A nurse is trained specifically to go through these types of medical records and present a case that makes sense.
Wow. I'm thinking about the person who No. It's good. I take good notes. Trust me. I've been doing this in not my first rodeo, but can you imagine being the lawyer without the nurse who, you know, Googled this, you look at things like malpractice and you look at the standards within a professional community, and the more people are using nurses, I don't want to be the guy at the table who Googled this stuff and have the client lose. Now the client sue me for malpractice. But when you started talking, there's a few just questions I wanted to hone in on, because I'm thinking with my listening ears of, you know, maybe a sole practitioner who takes on some, you know, has a general, you know, plaintiff's firm, and just ethical questions that an attorney might have who's never worked with a nurse practitioner, for example. If they get a client through, you know, client calls, they say, you know, I have an injury, it's a significant injury, it's going to be this great case, and I need help. You know, when you start talking to, they say, okay, we're going to have you talk to our nurse practitioner. As far as confidentiality occurs right then and there, how does all that work? And then also my second question, too, is about the, you know, putting up the recommendations with other recommendations to other providers within the healthcare industry. Is that a problem with referrals, or how is that potential concern cleansed? I guess just trying to get rid of ethical questions in our heads right off the top.
I mean, confidentiality is an issue that pops up. So obviously when I'm about to speak to a potential client, I usually have my typical disclosure as part of my spiel. You know, I am a nurse. I practice. I follow HIPAA guidelines. It protects me from opening my mouth and saying, oh, did you hear that Carol had this? Wow. And I put it on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever it may be. You know, so anything that's discussed between myself and a potential client, it remains confidential. If, you know, because I'm out there, I'm in Illinois, so I deal with many of the attorneys in this general area. So there is a possibility of having a conflict. If I see a name or hear, you know, a hospital or a physician, if there's any kind of conflict, like I've worked on that case before, I immediately back out. I let the client know there's no more discussion until I get in touch with the attorney, and then I let the attorney know. Usually a lot of these attorneys have several legal nurses that they work with. So if there's a conflict with me, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a no-go for the case. It just means I personally can't handle that case.
Right, right.
Did that answer your question? With,
yeah, well, it does. So there are a lot of similar operations and safeguards in place, the same way that within the law profession. And, you know, we see it. I mean, you look at something like family law. People are conflicted out of cases more often than people realize because, especially along the way, if, you know, one of the parties has had four law firms on their matter.
Right.
These things happen. And as far as making recommendations and referrals, who do we worry about the medical ethics rules as well as lawyer ethics with recommendations and referrals? I'm looking at the, you know, within law, the prohibitions against fee splitting with non-lawyers.
Right. And I think that is something to take into consideration. Usually at that point, I've stepped out. I'll make a recommendation of more like a general, like a neurologist or, you know, a surgeon. Sometimes the attorneys will ask if I have someone in mind. If I have someone in mind, I can contact that person, see if there's any kind of conflict. Is this your patient? Is this your aunt? Is this someone that would then create a conflict? Yes, no. If it's a no, then I go ahead and forward their information, usually a CV, to the attorney firm and leave it in their hands to decide if they want to pursue that person as an expert.
Mm-hmm. I can just think that, you know, when you're anytime experts can get involved in cases, just my own personal experience that everyone tries to, I feel bad for the experts because everyone, you know, people will, you try to build your expert up and get them approved and this is the best expert. And then the other side always tries to knock the expert out of the box.
Right.
So, and that's the dueling experts. So the
right.
experts really have to have a thick skin, especially
right.
with dealing with, you know, skilled litigators, you know, it's, you must have to,
right.
you know, go for a run or something in the morning to prepare for the day.
Right.
But, so again, so now we're getting into my area of identifying skill sets and experience that are relevant with nurse consulting. So number one, having a thick skin. Number two, you know, so what are some other communication seems to be a huge thing here in addition to just the nursing background. What other things that you can identify from your past or education have become a real asset to you in your line of work that you might not have thought about, you know, years ago when you were doing X activity, and you know, now it's like, hey, I'm glad I had that experience because it comes in handy sometimes.
Well, I think not only you hit the nail on the head with the thick skin. I remember when I very first started this, you know, trying to pick up the phone and cold call a brand new attorney, shaking in my boots. You know, and
right.
having them say, no, I already use a nurse, or we don't do that. We use Google ourselves. Okay.
Right.
So having a thick skin and being able to hear the words no sometimes and take it with a smile, say thank you, check back with them in another 6 months. I'm pretty persistent. You know, I think excellent written and verbal skills is crucial. You have to be able to communicate your thoughts and ideas, and you're kind of translating between two different languages. So you need to be able to communicate the technical medical term of what you're reading, make sense of all these numbers and letters on a piece of paper that can go on for thousands of pages, and translate that into something that makes sense to the attorney, who's then going to be communicating with his clients and possibly going in front of a jury who may be looking at you like you've got three eyeballs if you're, you know, spewing a bunch of medical terms at them.
Mm-hmm.
I think some other skills that are very important, you know, I've worked with a lot of people, a lot of nurses that wanted to do legal nursing, and they would get started and then just freeze up and just backed out of it because I don't know if it was a fear thing or, you know, they didn't have the confidence that it takes. But I think, you know, something that might help is having at least 1 to 3 years of hands-on nursing clinical experience, which will help your confidence level as far as reviewing these records, knowing what to do with them, and then breaking it down in a way that makes sense. So I think that over the 6 years that I've been doing this, I think those things stand out the most to me. You know, some other things is having a flexible schedule. Some days may be very quiet. I might not have any cases come in. Other days, I've just been slammed with deadlines that are due tomorrow. So I know I'm going to be up all night.
So that's you know, we think that we're done with that after school is over, and then, you know, the rude awakening. So do you ever bring in other people there that you know, contract workers for you to help out on some of these things, especially if that big case comes along?
Right, and I think all of us in the legal industry understand there are times where things ebb and flow. I pray nonstop when things are too quiet. I get nervous. And then I pray some more when things get crazy busy. And I can't do all of it myself. So I am very lucky. I've networked with several very strong legal nurse consultants who have done some work with me in the past when things have just been on fire with busyness. And I've leaned on them. I trust their work. So when things are rough, I go ahead and lean out. If I'm tied up with a project and it requires my full attention, I may have some of my colleagues, you know, step in and help me out with some other smaller cases.
Right, right. Well, another set of eyes on things, you know, not that they've, I'm assuming that going through all these charts and records is quite extensive, but, you know, also, does this make sense? Do you understand the report? You know, can be, that's sometimes our own work, we understand it, but communicating
right
to the rest of the world. But my father used to work in advertising, and he used to go to the local bar he went to on the way home from work, and he'd run ad campaigns by these people and say, does this make sense? And then, no, I don't understand
right
what you're talking about. Well, there you go. Very
right
good. Samantha, you mentioned depositions and preparing deposition questions. And helping and assisting in that capacity. I suppose that along the road, people who work as nurse consultants, with particularly in the legal industry, end up learning more law than they realize they would.
Oh yes, absolutely. You know, when I started, I had a basic understanding of what was going on legally. And then I think the first couple depositions or mediations I went to, I was just blown away with, you know, how that actually works behind the scenes. You know, at the end of the day, you know, people come out, one person looks okay, the other person looks okay. Obviously, they came to a settlement. And one of the mediators I worked with said, you know, nobody walks out of here jumping for joy. The goal is for everyone to make an amicable decision and come to an agreement. And usually in those times, you know, we're going back and forth talking about medical issues, you know, factual issues that are popping up. Somebody says that they can't get up and walk, you know, because they've got this horrible hobble, they've got a horrible limp. And when I went up to use the restroom, I'm watching the person walk around just fine on their cell phone. So things like that to keep an eye out for, that I think that, you know, attorneys are starting to think outside the box and, hey, I might be able to utilize this nurse. Because my eyes are always looking. I'm always looking at people's veins. I'm looking at, you know, how are they walking? Are they level? How are their facial features? And those are things that I'm not sure you can teach that on the spot. That comes with years of clinical nursing experience.
It's like telling if someone's lying to you. It becomes... I'll say years of working at family law firms, you get really good at learning who lies to you, and
right
you start to spot
right
the tells. So when you're observing in these scenarios, mm-hmm, do you sit in medical examinations when the other side wants their own independent expert?
Yes, I have. Last week just went to an IME. And they're always interesting. This one happened to do, it was an auto accident claim.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance company wanted to have their own independent medical examination. And this is after, now I was not the nurse who worked up this particular case. So I walked in there not knowing what the heck was going on with this lady.
Right.
But I sat and I observed her, and, you know, it was pretty clear that she's got some significant, you know, long-term injuries. And when I was listening to the physician, he was leaving out very key parts that I think had it been on the other side, he would have asked. So when I'm finished with this examination, I go ahead and type out a list of questions that would have been appropriate that were missing, type out my overall, you know, general opinion on what was going on, how this person was, and I send that back to the attorney. And the attorney then uses that for whatever he's got coming up next, if it's cross-examination, if they're planning on going to a mediation. So those are key important things. And I think, you know, when I very first started doing this years ago, I didn't see a nurse going to many IMEs, maybe here or there if it was something urgent. But I'm starting to see that shift a little bit to where there's more and more nurses going. And the lady who I went on behalf of thanked me when we were done, because she's like, you know, the last time I came, I was here by myself. I didn't know what to expect. I felt afraid. And she said, just having you sitting there, and I sat silently through the whole process. I just observed and I took notes. Mm-hmm. She said it was such a comfort to have someone there. And I said, that's great. So I think maybe we'll start seeing more IMEs coming up.
Possibly. I mean, looking at that just as an advocate and a person to be another, you know, it's, I can see the why people enjoy that. I mean, then they know that they're going to the doctor for the other side. They're aware of that. So I can see the, definitely the value. We might spill a few minutes over here in our conversation, but if we could hone in a little bit on some particulars of nurse consulting practice and how your job really looks and the types of things you're looking for within three different particular popular areas, one being tort liability, maybe where we're looking at the cause of an injury. Another would be malpractice, where maybe we're looking at the prescriptions and were there, you know, mistakes in prescriptions, over prescriptions, or, you know, whatnot. Or maybe three, nursing home and medical practice investigations. You know, elder care and home health, we certainly see things pop up frequently. So just with those three particularly, what are some top things that attorneys and people, you know, who work with nurse consultants should be aware of?
Well, a lot of times, you know, and you can take this with pretty much any case you're dealing with. If somebody is injured, my job is to identify if this is a legitimate injury or if this was something that, you know, say, for example, the person has, you know, back pain. You know, I'm going to be flipping through the records looking for any kind of information that might point me to the fact that this person has degenerative disc disease. You know, they're an elderly person. It's normal for your bones and your back to start degenerating over time. That can cause compression on your nerves. And I, you know, now this person is complaining of back pain. It may not have been from, you know, slipping and falling, although a slip and fall with someone whose back is already degenerated could exacerbate the issue. So my job is to paint that picture and make it very clear. Is this strictly from this injury, or is this a combination of prior and an exacerbation of? Is this something that's going to get better over time or worse? Does this person maybe need surgery or injections for the pain? You know, things like that. On the reverse side, if this is a younger person, healthy, no injuries to note, hasn't ever had to see a doctor, now they get hit by a car. Now they have all of these injuries that are popping up on their diagnostic images. I would say that the mechanism of injury is being hit by the car. And this person is going to have surgery, which then you have to keep in mind issues coming down the future. Future surgeries, future arthritis, future complications, things like that. When I'm looking at medications, now, you know, I've seen a lot more cases regarding the drug Xarelto. This is a drug that is used for, you know, as blood thinner. It's different from something that most people are used to hearing, which is Coumadin. Coumadin has, if you take too much Coumadin, you can get vitamin K to reverse the effects. Something like Xarelto, there's nothing you can do. There's no vitamin K or injection to stop the person from bleeding out. So I'm seeing a lot of cases with, you know, those types of issues popping up. And you have to be careful looking again at their whole history. Does this person have a history of bleeding? Does this person have a history of stroke? So really it's about taking each and every individual case. Every single person involved in that case is completely different. So not getting in the habit of treating everything the same with, you know, the same blanket. I have to take it and break it down, if that makes sense.
It does. And it seems that it would be a work of trying to really focus on the medical aspect as opposed to, you know, forgetting that it's litigation, you know, and liability, and just really focusing on what's happening with the person instead of looking for what's happening with the person if it's suggested that something's, you know, when they say, if you say this person was injured and this is the person who did it, I saw it, you're going to look for things that validate that suggestion. And it would seem that
right.
The nurse consulting position, you're saying, I have no idea about all of that. I'm presented with the question of, what am I working with? What do I have here? And let's analyze this situation here.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what it seems like to me. When you work with, we have a few more minutes left. When you're working with different attorneys, what does it look like from, a logistics perspective? Do you have a contract that you sign with them, and are you paid after a case settles, or is it hourly billing? Are there any, within nurse consulting, are there any industry groups that oversee how that practice works, working with lawyers, or is it sort of on an independent basis? Just wondering what they can expect if they hire a nurse consultant.
It really depends. I've been doing this long enough that I've dealt with a little bit of everything. Some attorneys want an upfront number if they give me, say, you know, 2,500 pages of records to review. They want a flat rate number so that their comfort is that they don't know me. They don't know if I'm going to overcharge something. So they want to settle on one number. Which is fine. That works for me. There are some attorneys that just say, here's what we're willing to pay every hour. You know, here's a 2,500 page case. How long do you think it'll take you? Well, it depends on a variety of things. A very complex case could take me much longer than a very simple case with a lot of duplicate records that don't really matter. They're not pertinent to this case. So I can fly past those pretty quickly. So it really varies. You know, I pride myself in honest work ethic. If I'm flipping through a case, you know, we're thinking this is the attorney's thinking this is a huge case. It's going to be an open shut case. And I get through a few pages and I say, I don't think you've got a case at all. That's when I pause and I pick up the phone and we chat. And I say, I really don't think this is as strong as you think it may be. And here's why. Usually at that point, they say, shut it down. We're not pursuing this any further. So it really depends on the style of the attorney. If I'm doing large volume cases for, say, one law firm, one office, it tends to get a little bit more laid back to where I may do all of the work for the month. You know, we're early August now. So I may do all of the work for the month of August and submit a final invoice, say September 1st. You know, sometimes they require, you know, they offer up, you know, a deposit up front. Any which way is fine with me. I think most of the attorneys I've worked with over the years are fantastic people. They work very hard. And I think that we're in alignment where we want what's best. We want the best possible outcome. So
I would I'd suggest to plaintiff's injury attorneys out there, especially those in smaller offices, when that phone call comes in and the person is absolutely sure that they have such a great case, and they don't want to pay, it seems that people don't want to pay for the review. I mean, unless it's an open, unless the thing is obvious with an injury, especially within malpractice. There are a lot of people think they've got malpractice issues, but a lot of people don't want to pay the upfront fee to have those medical records. They won't, I don't know, ask them, don't want to have them pay to be produced, much less reviewed. But I would suggest that, you know, if a client has a good case, having a nurse consultant in to review those as opposed to the attorney ordering them and spending all of that valuable time doing it, you may be having it may be good cost savings for clients as well. So I can see all sorts of, from a business perspective, on time and efficiency of our resources and how we allocate them, how nurse consulting can be such a good thing. And as you stated, Samantha, I think that this is something that once we, when we talk about medical malpractice standards and them being the, what is the practice in the community and the community standard, as we have more parties involved in the process, and we get used to relying on a nurse consultant as opposed to just being the lawyer and Googling it, that's going to be something that more and more people are going to look for. So again, very much a trailblazer in your career. What are some tips as we finish up before we say goodbye, some tips that you might have for other nurses who are looking for a career change and who may be interested in nurse consulting?
Well, I think, you know, basically what I did, I got online one night and started doing some Googling, and I researched various programs that offer legal nurse consulting. Now, there are some that you can spend a small fortune on. There are also some through, like, your university or community college. You know, I guess my recommendation is to look up a bunch of different options. And then if you do have any legal nurse consulting friends who are doing this and they're successful and they love what they do, I would not hesitate to reach out and ask them questions. And then, you know, really most importantly, I think, you know, choose a program that fits your style. I tend to do better on smaller levels. Some people want a campus feeling where there's maybe a couple hundred people in your class. So pick one that fits your style. And then I've taken so many brand new legal nurse consultants under my wing to kind of walk them through the process. How do you set up your business? How do you get your professional liability insurance? How did you take that first step? So really find a nurse consultant who's been doing this so that you can be mentored. That's very, very helpful.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And as we prepare to say goodbye, could you give the folks at home listening information how they can follow up with you if they want to talk about a nurse consulting career, or if there are lawyers out there who say, hey, this is a really interesting concept?
Sure. My name is Samantha Glahn. I am based out of Chicago, Illinois. My cell phone number is 815-823-4873. And you can also visit my website at www.sjglegalnurse.com.
All right, very good. I want to thank also our listeners out there who share these programs, because those of us in our different professional capacities and communities don't always know who else might be looking for information such as what we put forth on these programs. And you may really be helping someone out by sharing the content. There may be someone who's looking for a legal nurse right now. So we appreciate everybody's efforts in helping us share that information. Also, if you want more information about Samantha or any other guests on the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants Program, please contact the Favia Law Firm, Michael V. Fabian Associates, at area code 773-631-4580. Samantha, I've enjoyed this time, and I hope to have you on the program again. If there are any very important things that we need to know, let's keep in touch. But otherwise, thank you for telling us a little bit more about nurse consulting. I don't think that I would recommend anyone get involved in a very complex case without someone like you on their side.
Right. Thank you so much for having me on your show this morning, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Samantha. All right. Thank you again. This is Nick Augustine for the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants and the law firm of Michael V. Fabia and Associates in Chicago, located at 773-631-4580. Thank you all, and have a great day.